13 verse, Revelation 7:13. Now, in our study the previous month, we saw that the 10th verse gives us the timing when the woman is revealed to the church. It is when it speaks of seven kings, and it said that seven of these kings are in the past, and one is. And so that would be the sixth king. So in the time that Brother Russell had written the second volume, and in the various early issues of his monthly magazine, we see that there he identified the papacy as the Antichrist. And then it speaks of the time that the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And here we saw that this scarlet-colored beast that is first brought to our attention in this chapter, in verse 3, as we had seen in a previous prophecy regarding the French Revolution, that this scarlet-colored beast came out of the abyss. And we see that it represents the people's form of government that had gone into a dormant condition because of the change of government that took place, and as a result, the people's form of government going into the abyss. And now we'll read the 12th verse, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. As we've seen in our studies, that horns are symbolic of powers. And these 10 horns, or 10 kings, represent the 10 divisions of the Roman Empire. Now, in this, after the 7th is gone, and in this 8th period, you notice that it says there are 7 kings. So then, the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, it shows that he is of the eighth, and he was of the eighth because of the French Revolution. And then we see that this eighth will not be a a hit. The eighth will not be a hit. So now we'll read verse 13.
Tony, before you do that, I was looking ahead a little, and Brother Loomis has something. It's in chapter 18, but it's on this five are fallen and one is.
All right, Harriet.
Identifying the time.
What page is it on?
It's the old notes on page 26. It's the third paragraph. You want me to read the whole paragraph?
Yes, would you please, Harriet?
Could you give me that in reference again, please?
Page 26 of the old notes. Okay. It is only after seeing Babylon and thus recognizing the falling away as having taken place and the man of sin as being revealed that the John class may see the Lord coming. Otherwise, that's in quotes, otherwise the apostles' words in 2 Thessalonians 2:1-4 would contradict all other evidence of the parousia. This fixes the time when the five heads are fallen as that of the recognition of the second presence by the first of the John class. Luke 12:37 and Daniel 12:12.
What page are you reading from?
Page 26 of the old notes.
Well, I have the old notes here. Let's see.
It's the, there's a one line at the bottom. It's a paragraph above that. But he's identifying the time of the five.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I see it now. Yes. Okay.
So in other words, what he's saying is with the coming or the beginning of the presence identified in Revelation 18:1, that is the time when the five heads are fallen and the one is the time of the sixth head.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Harriet. All right, now, the pages we're going to be referring to in Gene's notes, it'll be on page 29. And in Brother Loomis's... 29.
Gene's.
On the 17th chapter?
No.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Not 29.
I'm sorry. 28.
Okay.
28. And on the new notes, it's, I believe it's 41.
Mm-hmm.
And on the old notes, Harriet read from 26, so.
Yeah, but that's really on the 18th chapter, but
so it'll be a little before that.
Now, Tony, you said, are we going to start with the 11th tonight?
No, we're starting with 13th.
Oh, now I want to ask a question on the 11th.
Right.
You said that this 8th will not be ahead.
Right.
What does that mean? But it said he is of the 7.
Yes.
What does that mean?
All right. I had already mentioned it. I guess you didn't hear me. Streeter brings out the same thought.
I heard what you said it was, but what does it mean to be of the 7? And what if
not of the 7th, of the 7.
See?
And is of the 7, yes.
Mm-hmm. Out of the 7, according to
the notes. Now, we keep in mind that the 5th head was the Napoleonic head.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the Napoleonic head took over as a result of the scarlet-colored beast coming out of the abyss. Now, if you read Streeter's notes on it, he gives a lot of history on it. And I believe Streeter quotes one of the translations that gives a thought that it's not of the 7, but I should have written it down, but it brings out a nice thought as to the meaning of the Greek. But let us read Brother Loomis's notes on that in order to refresh our memories. That's Revelation 17:11 in regard to and the beast that was and is not.
I have something I wrote in here too from reprint 2062 that might answer it, Tony.
Yes, now what we should do too is read the different heads to refresh the memory, our memory.
Mm-hmm. Could I read that quote which might kind of set the stage?
Yes, now where is the quote from?
Reprint 2062.
Okay.
The 8th condition will be the beast without a head, either a republic or anarchy. If a republic, we shall shortly expect anarchy, perdition. So in other words, it doesn't have one central authority.
That's right. And Brother Loomis mentions that it will be reactionary or revolutionary. In other words, knowing the history of the papacy, the people will know that through the lawful means they will not be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish to gain their freedoms. So it'll be reactionary or revolutionary. Now, Martha, would you read on page 42?
On the bottom of the page?
No, at the top of the page. Remember now...
these different empires?
Yes. Now, the seventh volume, I believe, and Streeter...
I have the seventh.
...places volume. The heads differently. Yeah. But notice now, it says that the woman sits upon the beast. Now, she didn't sit upon the beast until the time of Constantine. So, read from the very top of the page.
At that time, five of these heads had fallen, over seven of which successively the church has sat. Beginning with Constantine's day, for before that she had not sat upon any of them, we might count first the Roman Empire, second the Western Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, and fourth the Holy Roman Empire, the fifth the Napoleonic Empire, and as the sixth Austria-Hungary, and so forth, and the seventh Nazi Germany, joined later by fascist Italy, and the eighth was the Roman people, not in submission to the woman in the end. The Roman people are identified as the beast in volume 2, page 354, line above footnotes. Over these were seven heads, or kings, dynasties, or successive lines of rulership.
Yes. Now the point to remember that the eighth will not be in submission to Rome.
To the woman, yes.
To the woman.
What was the fifth, Martha?
Fifth, the Napoleonic Empire. It's on page 42 of Brother Moses' letter.
I think I have it. Mine is a Constantine first.
No.
Is that right?
That's right, Angie.
Constantine, and the second is the Western Roman Empire.
Well, it's the same. Yes,
it's
the same.
It's the same thing. What you're saying, Angie, is the same thing.
But her fifth is not the same, I think.
What's the fifth?
What's your
fifth? And the fourth is the Roman Empire, and the fifth is the French.
Yeah, the French Napoleon.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
And the sixth is the Victor Emmanuel. Is that right? The sixth, the Victor...
Austria-Hungary.
Well, it's either Austria-Hungary or Victor Emmanuel. Yeah. Brother Russell refers to both in different reprint articles.
And then the seventh is the Nazi.
Yes, I think in Brother Loomis's old notes, he has... Victor Emmanuel. Yeah. All right, now I think we should keep reading on page 42. Martha, would you read? Do you have it also, Venice?
No, I don't have it.
All right. Mother, turn to
Mother
the new note.
Mother doesn't have it. Oh. I can give her mine.
All right, never mind, Harriet. Then you can read. All right, Martha, you read the next paragraph, and Harriet the next two.
Upon each of these the woman sits. Her rule over some of them was questionable or limited. To confuse the scarlet beast with the papal leopard-like beast of Revelation, chapters 13 to 16 and 19, 11 to 20, 10 is confusion. 20 verse 10 is confusion, sorry. Though the body of each during most of their history may be practically composed mainly of the same class. The Roman Church does not rule papacy.
Yes, that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is a point to keep in mind in regard to these beasts. Babylon is the city, that great city. Papacy is also the city. It's not called the city, but we know that a beast represents a government. So you wouldn't have Babylon, the city, reigning over the leopard-like beast, the government. Because they're both the same, with a different symbol being used. But here, in regard to the woman sitting upon this beast, she dominated this beast. She didn't dominate the papacy, but she dominated this beast because this beast was in a dormant condition. That's why it's spoken of as being in the abyss. All right, Harriet, would you read the next two paragraphs?
The common mistake of confusing these two beasts may be due to the fact that they are both referred to as, quote, the beast, end of quote, in their respective prophecies, and additionally, that the biblical comments in the Bible Student's Manual misinterprets the scarlet beast in Revelation 17, 3, 7, and 16 as papacy. Citing Volume 3, page 277. Page 277, a page which nowhere cites this chapter nor any other text, and does not discuss this beast, and the reading of the Greek manuscripts contradicts this and supports Volume 2, page 354, saying that the ten horns and the beast shall hate and burn. Catechalciusen shall burn down youngs and strongs, that is, consume wholly, strong, burn down, Liddell and Scott, the woman. Papacy will not willingly destroy the Romish Church. The reading and the beast is supported by the Sinaitic and Alexandrian manuscripts, Tischendorf's, Griesbach's, Lachmann's, Altdorf's, Trogellus's, Schultz, Nessel's, Wordsworth's, Recessions.
Well, actually, we should hold this one for verse 13, this paragraph here. All right, now. We're still discussing 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. Let's go to page 43, and we'll read the entire page. So, Martha, would you read the first one, Harriet the second? And Amy, do you have the new notes?
I have read the Jean Blanc, that's all.
Okay.
I just bring one.
I bring too much. This scarlet beast, an ape, goes into destruction, Revelation 17:11. It is said to be out of the seven.
This minute, Mother, you don't have it in there. You have Jean Burns.
Greek, was that ek or ek?
Ek.
The fact that the preposition ek is used seems to indicate that although this beast is the body on which these heads are, and might be said to be of each of them in that sense, this eighth form is one of the seven. In Revelation 11:7, we read of the beast ascending out of the abyss, making war with the two witnesses at the close of their 1260-year testimony at the time of Napoleon's concordance with the Pope, connecting the general time with that of the French Revolution, after and as a result of which he came into power, in which the French tenth of the city, Christendom, fell. The eighth phase of the scarlet beast should represent, therefore, the same element, the common people, in Revelation 17:8, ascending from the abyss after our Lord's return.
Now notice the similarity of Revelation 11:7 and Revelation 17 and the verses following Revelation 17:13 and 14. In both cases, this scarlet-colored beast makes war with the two witnesses, the Old and the New Testament, and naturally with those that upheld the Bible at that time. And in this chapter, they make war with the Lamb and with His saints. The very same type of opposition is given. Mm-hmm. All right, Harriet?
The Alexandrian manuscript in verse 12 reads O-U-K, Auk, not instead of Upi, Upo, not yet. Not too great a difference. For if they had not received a kingdom at that time, they had not yet received it. However, not yet implies that they would later receive one, and the same verse adds that they receive authority as kings 1 hour with the beast, Diaglot. This seems to imply that they have authority to be kings for the space of 1 hour, accusative case denoting duration of time, with the beast. This would follow, for they're not beginning the exercise of ruling authority from the beginning of this hour, nor all at the same time. This has been true of the communist powers and perhaps other people's governments, the body of the scarlet beast, the Roman beast, people. Verse 2, page, or volume 2, page 354, line above footnote. Though having authority as kings, rulers, powers, horns, with the beast, people, during this harvest, hour of temptation, Revelation 3:10, hour of his judgment, Revelation 14:7, hour of Babylon's destruction, Revelation 18:10, 17, and 19. Obviously, these kings and mighty ones of the earth, financial and political princes and kings, Volume 4, 1916 forward, and so on, are not the ten kings who give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be finished, Revelation 17, 17. They and the beast consuming Babylon with fire, destruction, verse 16.
All right, now, Martha, read the next paragraph. See, he's going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Now he goes from Revelation 17, and then he goes to Revelation 17:17 and 17:16. Mm-hmm. All right. Now read the next paragraph. This has to do with the 17:8.
The abyss out of which the beast ascends in Revelation 17:8 is not one of complete permanent destruction, as is the lake of fire in Revelation 19:20, 20 and 10, 14 and 15. The abyss is a depressed or suppressed condition from which it is possible to return. Liddell and Scott define abysses as bottomless, unfathomed, in general boundless, exhaustless. As in the New Testament usage, they define it as the abyss, bottomless pit. Strong's Concordance gives depthless abyss. Young defines it as very deep place.
All right, now I think the next two paragraphs are very good too. Martha, would you read that?
The beast was in a depressed or suppressed condition under the sixth head when the apostle first saw it. If the beast of Revelation 17 were papacy, we would find papacy under the seven heads, under the woman church. This beast, therefore, cannot be papacy, cannot be the same as the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13. The waters are peoples and crowds and nations and languages. Diaglot. The beast might represent those in greater power or authority than the waters. The ten horns which receive authority as kings, 1 hour with a beast, would represent those dictators or heads of state or supreme authorities in their respective countries.
Yes, thank you. Now notice the point. If the beast of Revelation 17 were papacy, we would find papacy under the seven heads, under the woman, the church. And we know that in Revelation, the 13th chapter, the dragon gave its seat and authority to the leopard-like beast. Remember in Revelation 12 that there was war in heaven and the dragon was cast down to earth. All right, now there the papacy is represented as the man-child in Revelation 12. In Revelation 13, the dragon gives this leopard-like beast its seat and authority, showing that the leopard-like beast is not under the dragon, the Gentile powers, but rather it receives the seat and authority of the dragon. So this is why the beast of Revelation 17 cannot be under the ten kings, because the papacy was not under the ten kings. It dictated to the kings of Europe during its heyday. So there it shows the distinction of why the scarlet colored beast cannot be the leopard like beast.
Now, what is this scarlet colored beast in Revelation 17? Does it always refer to the people?
It represents a government that had gone into a dormant condition when the papacy began to ascend into power. See, now, if you remember the lesson that we had at our convention, Gene Burns was saying that it was a people's form of government that was later taken over by dictators. And when these dictators took over, the people's form of government, the Senate, they had like a Senate and a house.
Well, that was under
emperors.
Under pagan Rome.
That was under pagan Rome. Mm-hmm. But then instead of being a Senate and a house like America has, instead of being a people's form of government, when Caesar took over and then Constantine, it was more of a dictatorship. So this scarlet-colored beast was in a dormant condition when the Caesars were in power. Mm-hmm. See, the early Caesars had a people's form of government, but as it progressed, you had the dictatorships.
So is that how you would define the beast in Revelation 17, the people's form of government?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That the people's form of government that had gone into the abyss. In other words, the people's form of government did not exist during the seven heads. And the only time it existed was in the French Revolution, when one-tenth of the city fell. Then this people's form of government took over. And now again, in our day, this people's form of government is emerging mm-hmm. out of the abyss. I think really it started with the Russian Revolution. Because there you had the czars thrown out. And it's a revolutionary form of government, just like as in the French Revolution.
And really the czars were under the church.
Right. But see, then the czars were taken out of power. So actually, since the end of the Gentile times, you had the dictator Hitler. So Hitler and Mussolini were both dictators. So that was not a people's form of government. So that would be the seventh. But the eighth, even though the Russian Revolution started in 1917, it wasn't a general condition in Europe. And this is why it's, in order to see it, as Brother Russell brought out, and the Streeter follows the same line as Brother Russell, it would represent a people's form of government or people going into anarchy, which really the French Revolution was anarchy.
Well, now the reason, let's see if I have this clear, the reason it could not be like the United States, which is a people's form of government, is because it has to be a European setting. Is that correct?
The ten divisions are
Europe. So in other words, this people's form of government has to be a European, general throughout Europe, rather than anywhere else in the world or the United States.
Is that that's true. Because Europe, when they saw what happened in the United States in 1776, they desired to have that form of government. But it was not due to take place. It was not due to take place until after the Nazi fascist combination had gone down. And that was back in 1945. So this emergence of socialist governments that are taking over, and this going back and forth, the battling back and forth between labor and conservatives, it hasn't come to the point yet where God will put it in their hearts to destroy the woman.
But eventually it will come over here, because there's so many discontents here in the United States. After it'll come to it'll be over Europe first, but it'll come over here too.
But really, the 10 divisions
refer to Europe.
Refer to Europe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does refer to Europe.
Harry, could we say that anarchy will be throughout the world, but that would be a different picture? This picture here
deals with
is
Europe.
European.
Yeah, it's definitely a European picture, because it's the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. As you said, the Fourth Empire has ten toes, mm-hmm. 10 divisions. So. All right. Now, Venice, would you read Revelation
17:13? These are of one mind and give over their power and authority to the beast.
Now this is in reference to the 10 kings. The 10 kings now cooperate with this beast. Now this is very interesting. All right, now Mother, would you read Gene Burns' comments on
17:13?
Now that would be on page 28.
And
why don't you read 12 and 13?
And the 10 horns which thou, John, seest are 10 divisions of authority, which have received no dominion as yet, but receive power as rulers with the government of the Roman people during and for our period. These have one purpose and shall give their power and authority to the government of the Roman people.
Yes, now would you also read 11 at the top of the page?
And the government of the Roman people that was in the Republic formed during the period that Rome was pagan is not by reason of the fact that the republic form of people's government became dormant. Even it is to be the eighth, but without a head or a central authority, and it is out of the seven one from among the seven. Most likely the one from the seven being the fifth, the French Revolution, Public Republic, which started without a head, but eventuated with Napoleon as its head. See Revelation 7:11-7, and goes into oblivion.
All right. No, that's it. Yes, thank you. All right. Now, are there any thoughts now on these 10 kings having one mind, being in harmony, and that harmony is that they shall give their power and strength unto the beast?
It says here, these are the king's words. These have one purpose and shall give their power and authority to the government, that is, the Roman people.
Yes. Now remember how the United States is trying to have the European countries do things that the United States wants them to do. But they don't want to go along with the United States. Because they recognize the influence of the Catholic Church in the United States policies. And they don't embrace those ideas. Now why? See, it shows that there's a difference here. Some would say, well, now if this beast here is the Catholic Church, then the European countries would want to go along with the United States. Because the United States is really, a lot of their policy is being dictated by Catholic politicians. Well, why are so many of the countries turning socialist? Here in Italy, you have a socialist government. In Spain now, you have a socialist government?
Do they have a dictator?
No, the dictator is gone. Franco is gone.
It's a republic.
And Constant...
they have
I
the
think it is a republic.
Yeah, they have a
they
king
have a
who's a prince, but he's in name only.
Yeah, he's in name only.
Oh, for years and years, Spain has never had a king.
They
it's
do.
The republic.
Yeah, after Franco, they to get rid of the dictatorship of Franco and his military dictatorship, they reinstituted the title of the king
of the monarchy,
but it's kind of like England. They have to do the bidding of what the parliament says. So it's really he is simply at their demand. Yeah.
That's all. And then you have France, socialist. You have Greece, socialist. All right, now these countries want to work with Russia. And the United States says no. The United States doesn't want cooperation between the European countries and Russia. Germany, West Germany, their president recently went to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States is trying to influence all these countries not to go along with Russia.
The United States is right.
Well, not according to this prophecy.
According to
this prophecy, it isn't God's purpose.
But I know, but I mean, because the United States knows that Russia wants to dominate on the world. Of course, if it's kind of God, it's all right. But who wants to have Russia to dominate the world? There's no freedom.
Well, no, Russia wants to dominate the world in the sense that Russia wants all the countries to adopt its type of government.
Perfect.
And the United States is the same way. The United States doesn't say so, but the United States wants all the European countries to have democracies like the United States.
Freedom.
So really you have two ideologies,
yes,
in which each one is trying to force its form of
government
upon these different governments. So it's interesting to see that the Lord is permitting this to take place until, as we read the rest of this chapter, until the Lord does his own will.
But if it's his will, it has to be.
They have a little bit, Tony, could I just make a comment on what Amy said and then
yes,
here?
Yes.
But it'll never be a fifth universal empire,
no.
Amy.
No, I know.
Because the fifth universal empire is Christ.
Yes, I know.
But yes. On page 24 of Brother Loomis's old notes, there's a little bit on this.
All right, would you read it, Harriet?
They give their power and strength, and as they finally receive it, their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled, verses 13 and 16, in the desolation and consuming of the woman, verse 16, and so on. It isn't much on 13, but it's a little bit.
Now when they first give their... See, Amy, you don't have to worry about Russia Because,
that's my,
no, in Ezekiel...
No, it's been, it's his will.
See, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, God is going to draw Russia by its jaws.
I know.
Into the Holy Land. And there the Lord is going to take care of Russia. So evidently, it's interesting to see now just when will this chapter in Revelation, these scriptures in Revelation 17, how will they coincide with Ezekiel 38 and 39? Because they are connected. They are connected.
You see, Brother Tony, I know from the time is going to come when Russia will go, and I know that. But from now until that time, it is those countries who she dominates. Now look what she's doing in Afghanistan. That's right. Who wants to, and look what, because of her way of life in Central America. You see, I know the time is coming. That's what will go down, I know that. But until that time, look, the trouble that she's causing to other countries.
Well, you know, in the paper yesterday or the day before, the United States, the CIA, has comic books in which they have it go to what country in Central America?
Nicaragua.
In which they teach children and grown-ups to blow up, to poison waters and do things.
See?
And this is the United States government trying to overthrow the Nicaraguan government, which is communist. Now, they're doing the same thing in Nicaragua that Russia is doing in Afghanistan. And the United States newspapers are saying what a terrible thing they're doing.
Yeah, but they don't have troops over there, Tony. That's the difference.
Excuse
Russia
me.
Has troops in Afghanistan.
But they want, Martha, you should have read that article. They want murder.
Yeah.
They want all kinds of things to take place.
Yeah. You mean America's doing that?
CIA of America mm-hmm. is doing it.
They do poisoning the water?
What was it that they were
yeah,
supposed to do?
Yeah, and... pour sand in gas tanks and different things that they can do to disrupt.
To disrupt the law
and
order.
And Congress knows this?
Well, Congress just voted to cut off funds for it. The CIA has been doing it.
Oh, the CIA.
That's supposed to be secret, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it isn't.
But see, the newspapers are getting hold of all this information.
But that isn't the American... And the government who's doing it, though.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
The CIA is.
The CIA is a government agency.
And
it's a government
those
agency.
Those orders are from Congress?
Those orders are from the military.
When the truth comes out about what the United States did, the people are going to be very angry.
Yes.
Because she did a lot of mean.
You talk about
murders.
Russia and Cuba doing mean things.
Oh.
The United States is doing mean things.
Americans don't do the country.
Right.
I mean, well, the United States claims to be land of the free, liberty.
Yeah, but
Christian.
Well, they know what kind of. I'm not skipping up.
No,
they're doing. But they know what kind of people they're dealing with. And naturally, they feel that they're doing the right thing.
Well, Dennis, the people in Nicaragua were under dictators supported by America that exploited them.
I know,
and
they
exploited.
Always wanted to do that.
And,
I know
and this is why they figured the only way they could escape from that kind of dictatorship was to turn communist, and which is what they did. Because the United States government has been supporting corrupt, like look in Mexico now.
Well,
in Mexico, since they found oil, Mexico has gotten billions of dollars, and one-tenth of the population of Mexico has siphoned most of those billions of dollars of oil money into their own pockets. And the United States has been throwing, they owe the United States $10 or $20 billion. So the United States is supporting corrupt countries, and the common people have nowhere to turn. So no wonder they're reactionary or revolutionary, because they see that the policies of the United States aren't helping the common people. They see that.
But even if the United States tried to help the common people, they sent things over to different countries. The ones that are in charge are selfish, and they don't give it to the others.
Right.
So if you can't say, I mean, you can't say it's both. You can't say it's the United States' fault, because the United States will send food, money over to these countries.
Yes,
yet those
them.
In charge will not disperse it to the people.
Yes.
They will keep it for themselves. And that's the way it is with the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happened with Chiang Kai-shek in China. And the people of China under communism prospered more under communism than they did under Chiang Kai-shek.
Well, in Nicaragua, they sent over aid. The United States sent free supplies over to help the people after the earthquakes. And Somoza, who was the president, took this and sold it to the people and got money for it. So the thing is, the United States was supporting this
corrupt
government. And if they really wanted to help the people, which they did, and it was done out of good motive, the only way they could have done it was to gone in and handle the distribution.
Mm-hmm.
You see, then, but they didn't, because they want to get the backing of these dictators. So it's wrong on all sides, and that's why all the governments have to go down.
Distress of nations with perplexity.
Yes.
No matter how highly motivated the United States government might be.
Well, they're corrupt too. I know they are.
What can you do?
Show me one honest, real honest congressman or senator.
Oh, I'm sure there are. But
very few.
Yeah.
Right.
They wouldn't go on, but they wouldn't be a congressman. America's not
the whole world. The only thing that's really going to help the whole world is the kingdom.
Yeah, the kingdom.
All right, now, Amy, would you read verse 14?
Verse 14 of chapter 17. These shall make war with the land, and the land shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
All right, now, Venice, would you read Jean's notes on verse 14?
These shall make aggression with the meek, humble one, and the meek, humble one shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, are there any thoughts in regard to how these 10 kings and the beasts shall make war with the land?
This is probably the time that the true church will be persecuted. The remaining ones will be persecuted on this earth. Those that are doing the Lord's will and preaching the truth unto the last. And I think even at that time will be time for reproving kings.
All right, now on page 44 of Brother Loomis' new notes, Harry, would you read that last paragraph?
For a time, Revelation 17:14, these 10 horns kings will make war with the Lamb, but he will conquer them. Diaglot. This probably represents an attempt on their part to suppress the truth, or an attack by them upon the Lord's faithful people, and perhaps also upon regathered fleshly Israel. This will probably be before turning upon the woman, when they and the beast shall destroy her.
All right, now.
So that's what Martha said.
Now we have a setting here where they attempt to make war with the Lord's, they do make war with the Lord's true followers. Now, is this before or after the vitalization of the image?
This is after, this is future. All this is future.
Right. So then the vitalization of the image would take place first.
Well, it's being vitalized now. The only thing it hasn't got, it's power. But they're forming now. That's what I really mean.
Oh, they're in process.
Yes, they're in process.
But
yes.
In order to receive life, they have to unite into one church.
They have to get to, I forgot the word.
Receive authority, you started.
Authority from the papacy.
From the Church of England.
But Brother Tony, this thing has been going on for about 18 years now, where all these churches are gradually getting together. What I mean is this, they're preaching on each other churches and prophets.
Yes.
And they're meeting together.
For the purpose of
unification. For the purpose. Now, all they're waiting now for is to get authority from the Pope that makes him head over both
the Pope is
and the daughter, or the papacy and the daughter. They want to get authority from papacy. And Pip and the daughter will not allow that. She still holds that the Archbishop of Canterbury is her head and the Pope is the head of the Catholic Church. But as far as masses, they believe the same thing. They go to confession. This is something strange, but this has been going a long time in the Episcopal Church. Confession, we never heard of that in my time.
Well, thank you, Amy.
So you see, they're forming now. The only thing they haven't got the authority from them.
All right, Martha.
The Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church are the only churches that claim to be descended from the
apostolic.
They have apostolic succession.
Yes.
They only claim it. Now, this Church of England has to give it to the other Protestant churches.
Well, they've offered it, but the Protestant churches have not accepted it as yet.
But they will. They will accept it.
I think they will accept it.
And then they'll form this confederacy after this.
Now here's what we're trying to do now is to see how these 10 kings and the beast make war with the Lamb. All right, now we have to start reasoning on other details, so we go into other prophecies. All right, first of all, we must see the vitalization of the image, where no man can buy or sell. Then we see the saints gaining the victory over the image and the beast, and then they pour out the plagues, 7 plagues. So evidently, when these make war with the Lamb, it will be around the 6th plague, when the effect of the plagues on Christendom will have had a tremendous effect upon the papacy and upon the false prophet. And then the 10 kings and the beast here will see what's going on, but they are atheistic and they will go after the Lord's people. These 10 kings and the beast. They will not be under the influence of the papacy, because shortly after they make war with the Lamb, which will be the feet members of the Christ, then they will go after the papacy and destroy her, because the next verses show they destroy her. So then the setting has to be, why would they go after the Lord's people? I think it will be as a result of the prominence of the work of the plagues upon Christendom. What other reason would there be for them to go against the Lord's people?
Because
are there any thoughts?
Because of those 6 studies in the by the starters. The promulgation of the truth over the world, and they have read these books, and they have found out that that we're against them, because they are in court especially.
Did you say that the ten kings would go after the Lord's people?
Yeah, it says, see, these have one mind.
Yeah.
And shall give their power and strength unto the beast, and these shall make war with the Lamb. But now the Lamb shall overcome them. See, in other words, now we've entered into the period of time where the truth becomes prominent before the world as a result of the pouring out of the plagues. All right, now we're preaching comfort to Israel. All right, now these nations of Europe do not love Israel, because by this time Israel will be dwelling safely, and they do not love Israel. So those that are giving a message of comfort for Israel, you know how we get letters in we know who you are because of the message about the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Tony, could I read
Harriet?
Something in the old notes? Actually, the whole thing is good. I don't know how much you want read. There's about three paragraphs here.
Now, what page is it on?
Page 25.
All right, let's...
the old notes. Brother Loomis' old notes.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
In order to understand verse 14, we have to find out why the beast and the ten kings would go against the Lord's people.
Because
they're not going to go against us. Here we're studying here. Nobody's going to bother us because they don't even know what we're studying.
See, the point I was making, this one section, it just says that to oppose the Lamb by persecuting the members of his body still in the flesh in order to suppress the truth and simultaneously invading Palestine to take a spoil.
Yes. Now, see, this is why it has to be after the pouring out, when the sixth plague is gathering the nations together for Armageddon. So it has to be, now we don't believe any of the plagues are poured out. All right, now when the first plague, second plague, third plague, fourth plague, fifth plague are poured out, the truth is very, very prominent in the world.
May I ask a question?
Very, very prominent.
What were the plagues? I thought it was the volumes.
It is.
The
but
message.
It's the volumes in plague form
yes.
at the time that it's supposed to have its destructive effects upon Babylon.
Well, don't you think they have
had their destructive effects?
Been spread over the world a great deal, the volumes?
Yes, but not the judgments. The judgments are the volumes of the plagues, Amy. In other words, the purpose of the studies in the scriptures from the time they were written until now has been for the sealing of the Lord's saints in their foreheads.
Yes, it comes
now,
first.
After the door is shut,
then
the plagues are poured out. Then their plagues.
Will be accepted, you mean? They will be accepted.
No, they won't be accepted. But as they are declared, the judgment, the Lord on the other side of the veil will carry out the judgments. In other words, the plagues are going to have the plague-like effect upon Christendom.
Yeah.
Harriet?
Well, I don't know what you want to go into here, but I was just going to mention, like Martha said, one of the things will be probably the church declaring the judgment of the nations. You know, John the Baptist declared the... illicit union between Herod and Herodias, and the church will declare that kind of thing too.
Between.
And the thing is, this is in the volumes,
yeah.
But that,
at that
aspect
time,
of it
at has that time it will be a reality.
Yeah.
In other words, now we talk about the churches getting together, but at that time it'll be a reality. And when it's a reality, we will be condemning that reality. And this is why trying to piece it together to see just how all of these details are going to fit into place. That's the purpose of our study.
Yes.
That's the purpose of our study.
Tony, would this be reasonable to think that the church, the Confederacy will persecute the Lord, the saints, the ones that are following in Jesus' footsteps, and the these ten kings, these godless, this godless element, they will go after what remains of the saints and the great company. Would that be reasonable?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Because the great company is going to be preaching the truth too at that time.
They'll have to preach the truth too.
They will be. They will have the pop. They will have. What do they ask for? A double portion of the Spirit of the Lord. Remember the Elijah class?
Yeah.
So then they will go after them, especially, I think.
But you know, Amber, Tony, which impressed me, those who are called.
And the beast will use, the papacy will use at that time, will be that. Actually, we're seeing it happening now. We're being accused of being a cult. We're not even Christians. We're getting letters now that say we're not even preaching Christ. And this is the kind of thing that we'll be getting more and more, so that when the image is vitalized, they'll be saying, they're a cult, they don't even preach Christ. All right, now, as the trouble gets more severe, just like Nebuchadnezzar's image, when the three Hebrew youths would not worship the image, they were thrown into the fire. The fire represents the trouble that the world will be going through. So then the churches will have their hands full with the troubles in the world. And when they have their hands full with the troubles in the world, we'll be free to preach. And we'll preach that these things were already foretold by the Lord, and so on. But now the plagues are going to reach the common people. The common people are going to recognize that what the Bible students are saying is right. And then, while that's going on, then Revelation 17 will be getting the crystallization of that picture, where they will go after the brethren. Now the brethren in Poland, now they're showing for this cause. They're showing all kinds of things. And right now, it's the communist government is very favorable towards them.
Because.
But how long are they going to be favorable towards them?
They're favorable toward them because they're anti-Catholic. Yeah. I mean, not they're something different than Catholic.
Well, by the same token, they suppress the JWs.
Yeah.
Over the earth?
Yes. They're not allowed at all in Poland, the JWs, the underground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're still not aware of what the Bible students are preaching.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Martha, would you read, did you read page 25, the second paragraph area?
I just read one sentence from it.
Let's read the whole thing. Now, here, Brother Loomis, this was back in 56. He was trying to piece this together. All right, Martha, would you read that?
I didn't bring my own note.
Oh.
Okay, thank you.
Putting together the various clues.
Together the various clues furnished, we may understand the woman to represent the nominal church, primarily that of Rome, the beast, the people who support her, five of whose successive heads have fallen by the time she is shown to the John class by the man with the inkhorn through his second volume. The beast people rising up and assuming the power through or with its ten distinct rulers during the hour in which it is granted them may compromise under the influence of the church, Catholic leopard-like beast, and the Protestant false prophet, and the international civil power, the United Nations, or its equivalent, final phase of the dragon, perhaps. Revelation 16, 13, 14, and 16. To oppose the Lamb by persecuting the members of his body still in the flesh in order to suppress the truth, and simultaneously invading Palestine to take a spoil, but are turned against one another after overthrowing the church nominal.
And read the next paragraph also.
As in the case of our head, so in the case of the members of his body, the powers of the old order, the ecclesiastical working with and through the civil, attempt to thwart the influence of the truth by destroying those who teach it, thus attempting to throw off its restraining influence. Apparently for a time, the ten horns will be drawn into the struggle, but will soon return to their former opposition, and they and the beast will overthrow the woman before being destroyed themselves destroyed. And it brings in the scripture in Psalms 149, which is 5-9, which mentions about the bind the kings with chains and the noble who better the bind.
Now, on page 24, Harriet, did you read the fourth paragraph on page 24 of the Old Testament?
The ten horns?
Yeah. You were just repeating it, but
I think I did, didn't I? I read part of it. I may have just read that part on verse 13. No, I think I read it.
You read the whole thing.
I'm not sure, honey. I'm really not sure. No, I don't think I read the whole thing. I just read a section, a sentence or two, Tony.
Okay.
Now, I'd like to ask a little question here. Now, I know we're past this, but it says, the 10th, in the 12th verse, it says, the ten horns are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet. Will they receive, these ten kings won't receive any kingdom though. It implies here that they might.
Well, in other words, they receive authority.
They do receive authority.
They receive authority, yes.
But I
but
read...
it's not a central government.
No.
It's not one central government. But, yes.
Remember I read somewhere that, I don't know which notes... Oh, yeah, it's on page 43 of the new notes. That really the word is auk, not, instead of upo, not yet. It really should be not.
Which one?
Not yet. Or not.
Oh. Not.
They receive not authority, but they...
And then he goes on to explain how they do, but really, the Greek word there is not. It is not, not yet.
The ten horns which John sees are divisions of authority which have received no dominion as yet or not.
Yeah, read. Do you have page 43, Tony?
See, now, yes. Now it says here...
He says the Alexandrian reads that way.
This would allow for their not beginning the exercise of ruling authority from the beginning of this hour. Now the beginning of the hour was 1878. Nor all at the same time. This has been true of the communist powers. In other words, the communist powers, the communist power received their power as a government in 1917, but these others haven't just yet.
Where is that? Where are you reading from, please?
Page 43.
Okay.
In the middle of the
paragraph. Yeah.
Though having authority as kings, rulers, powers, horns, with the beast people during this harvest hour of temptation, hour of his judgment, hour of Babylon's destruction. Obviously, these kings and mighty ones of the earth, financial and political princes and kings, are not the ten kings who receive their kingdom, who will give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be finished. They are not the ten kings. In other words, the kings and mighty ones of the earth, financial, political princes and kings, are not the ten kings who give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be finished.
Yeah, but he's saying that Alexandrian manuscript really reads not.
Now the,
in other words, as yet is spurious, is that it?
Well, just in the Alexandrian.
Yeah. Well, he goes along with that, though.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
He says kind of the same thing in the old notes on page 24. The 10 kings which had received no kingdom as yet being omitted by the Alexandrian, although not by Tischendorf's translation of variations from the Sinaitic manuscript.
Yes, and further on it says that our 10 rulers of governments, possibly dictators, who did not receive a kingdom under the grant or lease of power to the Gentiles, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, but who received power or authority as kings 1 hour with the beast. And then it says, they're giving their kingdom to the beast is stated as a reason why, as the 10 horns and the beast, thus destroy the women, the woman. Her destruction therefore must come during the hour in which they have their kingdom thus to give to the beast. See, so this is why, if the scarlet colored beast was the papacy and the papacy received the power, why would the papacy want to destroy the woman?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it wouldn't make sense.
So it's not.
The thought seems to be that they received the power or the authority for the 1 hour, but do not begin its exercise. Do not receive actually their kingdom immediately. The same would be true of the beast. See, in other words, Brother Loomis is sticking to the fact that the hour is the hour that began in 1878. He won't change that. Because the angel of the hour was Brother Russell. And if you leave Brother Russell out of it, then you're going to have all kinds of hours. Let us read the rest of the scriptures. Verses 15. All right, let's read verse 15. Amy?
Verse, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whole Sabbath are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
All right, now, what does this signify? Or let's read Gene Burns' notes, Dennis.
And if the essence of the time is at hand.
You reading verse 15?
Chapter 14 declared unto the John Flat, the waters which thou sawest, where the unfaithful church is supported, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages.
Alright, are there any further thoughts in regard to the whore sitting upon the water?
Could I read the Sinaitic first?
Yes.
And he saith to me, these, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are also people and multitudes and nations and tongues.
Yes.
That also in there.
Yes, so then, actually, what verse 15 is saying is that in this history of this false church, she was supported by all these nations, all these different nationalities of the Roman Empire. All right, Amy, let's see now. Mother, do you have the Bible open, the Revelation 17, and read verse 16.
17. 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire.
Yes, I had mentioned last week that the Greek word ket appears five times in the dialogue, and everywhere where you see and the 10 horns, this is the King James Version, ket the 10 horns which thou sawest, ket the beast, and the beast. These shall hate the whore, ked, and shall make her desolate, ked, and naked, ked, and shall eat her flesh, ked, burn her with fire.
Well, how do you spell that ked?
K, it's like an X, it's like a X, like this. K-A-I.
Oh, K-A-I, okay, I
thought I didn't know. Now, actually in the King James, it's six times.
Mm-hmm.
One, mm-hmm. Upon should is ket. Two,
two,
three,
four,
five, six. Six times. But in the diglot, it only appears five times. And in one of them, one of the translations, and naked, is not as not in one of the older manuscripts, but it is in the other one.
It's five times in the King James.
Well, it's actually six times because the word translated upon is definitely ket in the Greek. So that alone, why should it be translated and five times and translated upon the other time? Mm-hmm. It's strictly interpretation.
Yeah.
That's why they translated it that way. All right. Let's see now. Amy, would you read Jean Burns' notes on verse 16?
And the 10 divisions? And the 10 divisions of authority which the John passes in the government of the woman people, these are hate in the faithful church, and shall make it desolate and uncovered, and shall consume its substance and destroy it with destruction.
Are there any further thoughts or questions on this? See, now this really is the will of God.
So you see, it's not papacy that will destroy and the faithful will oppress the people. It's the 10 divisions because they need power. The power that the 10 divisions have, they will destroy their faithful church, which is papacy and the daughter and the government.
See now, in these, all right, Martha?
I want to ask a question. Will they destroy the unfaithful church because they see her unfaithfulness and they see what she had done?
Hypocrisy.
And this is a very late date. This is after the saints are gone, maybe even after the great company is gone. So do you think your eyes will be open to the true situation by that
definitely.
Time?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, the church will be gone at this point, won't they?
Yeah.
This is happening
in
the
16th
verse.
This is
all future. Yeah. See this. The seventh plague shows the city going into the great earthquake, going into anarchy. So the church, after it declares the seventh plague, is taken out of the picture. So how close are we? See, this remains to be seen. Because the church is going to be taken very suddenly. When this time comes, the church is going to be taken very suddenly. And probably it will be taken because by this time, those that kill the church probably will be assuming that we're the same as the papacy.
Yeah, that's right. Religion.
Any religion.
Right.
Just like in the French Revolution, they got rid of the papacy, but anybody that professed religion, they turned against. Because it's an anarchistic period of time.
Isn't there a sign that will that been received when the church is gone? And know that the Great Mother Church will say, winter is past, summer is here, well, we're still here.
Yes, actually, the Great Multitude is shown declaring
the church
papacy's destruction in chapter 19. So they'll be here when papacy is destroyed, but they'll be taken very, very quickly after that. That's the great company. We'll get that in Revelation 19. All right. Now, are there any further thoughts on verse 16? See, so actually, now, as I had mentioned before, we have five prophecies in Revelation showing papacy's destruction. Now, this one here, her destruction literally is shown by being done by the people that formerly supported her. This isn't that the way Jezebel was killed?
Mm-hmm.
The very people that supported her, her own eunuchs, killed her.
Mm-hmm.
So the beast in this verse 16 is the government of the Roman people.
Yes. Yes.
This is not papacy. This is
the government of the Roman people. In other words, it will be a reactionary or revolutionary form of government, which is not under the influence of religion, of either papacy or or the end of the false prophet.
What's that?
Yeah, she does. She comes all the way up.
Who?
The kitty.
She comes.
She heard us talk. She heard us having a meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I call you?
All right. Now, are there any further comments? As in the case of our head, so in the case of the members of his body, the powers of the old order, the ecclesiastical, working with and through the civil, attempt to thwart the influence of the truth by destroying those who teach it, thus attempting to throw off its restraining influence. Psalms 149:5-9, and Psalms 2:1-3, and Acts 4:23-28. Apparently, for a time, the ten horns will be drawn into the struggle, but will soon return to their former opposition, and they and the beast will overthrow the woman before being themselves destroyed. So there we see that Armageddon is where there will be some kind of a third world war.
Yeah, but Tony, so that means that papacy and the daughter will all be destroyed. That's going to be something, don't know, that all the churches being burned down and the members of the Novel Church being slain, and the popes and the bishops and the archbishops. It's going to be terrible.
It will be a very terrible
thing. Oh, my.
So I think we should remember what Brother Russell says in the foreword to the fourth volume. Even in talking to other people, we shouldn't dwell on the terribleness of the trouble.
They will not be
mention it, but go to the blessings that follow. We don't want to scare people.
No.
That's not our purpose.
No.
Not
so
purpose.
We shouldn't.
But
well, no. Now isn't the time for them to repent.
Now is not.
I repented.
No, Andy. Under the new covenant, they will be given the opportunity.
This isn't the time for the world's repentance.
The new covenant won't be in effect when this happens, Andy.
It's only the church.
Their time will be under the new covenant. It will be the law shall go forth out of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's under the new covenant.
Future.
All right, now let us read verses 17 and 18. All right, Mother, Revelation 17, 17 and 18.
Verses 17
and 18.
For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kingdom of the earth.
All right, now.
Could I read the Sinaitic?
Yes.
For the God put into the hearts of them to perform the purpose of him, also to execute one purpose, and to give the kingdom of them to the wild beast, until the words of the God will be completed. And the woman which you saw is the city, the great one, having sovereignty over the kings of the earth.
All right, now what is the will of God to be fulfilled that the 10 kings give their kingdom unto the beast?
That the erroneous, deceitful, deceptious, hypocritical churches and papacy and daughters teaching all these blasphemy must be destroyed. That's God's will. They must be destroyed.
All right, now those that believe that the papacy is the beast, how would they explain this? They would explain this.
Yes, no. That's true.
See, now verse 16 obviously shows the purpose of God is to destroy the woman completely.
The unfaithful church.
The unfaithful church.
Burn her with fire, it says, so that implies destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, Venice, would you read Brother Jean's notes on verses 17 and 18?
But God hath put it into their determination to fulfill his will and to agree and give their authority under the government of the Roman people until the pronouncement of God shall be fulfilled. And the unfaithful church which the John class sees is that great government which rules over the kings of the social order.
Yes, now verse 18 is actually we would connect with verse 1. In other words, verse 18 wouldn't follow verse 16 and 17 where she's destroyed. But in other words, the identification of Babylon and that and the woman which thou sawest is that great city. So here we have the woman spoken of here as the great papacy, the government. See, now the woman is a city. A city represents a government. The woman represents a church. So here the delineation of the papacy is that of the city. A beast is a government. So here's another proof that this is not the leopard-like beast, because the city is a government and the papacy is a government. Otherwise, you would have Babylon the woman, you would have the government, the city, and then you would have a third delineation of the beast as the woman, the city, and the beast. Now, if this beast here was the papacy, this scripture should read, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, that beast that reigned over the kings of the earth." So here's another proof that the papacy is shown as the city.
As the city.
And not as the beast.
Well, I thought if I didn't line up in the
All right, is there any further thoughts on these two verses?
From when we listened to the tape on the study, I wrote down this comment on verse 18. Revelation 21:2 is the true church with her bridegroom. So the woman is the false church, a government in the earth that didn't wait for her bridegroom, but joined with the government as her bridegroom. And I thought that was a good point on this.
Alright, are there any further questions or thoughts before we close this chapter?
The book of Revelation is timely for the church, and there are few who understand it. It's only those who meet and study. It's deep, but yet it's interesting.
It really, the details, many of these details, we will understand more perfectly when we see these various things crystallize into fulfillment. Now, just imagine the different writers of the true church have been trying to understand these things for centuries, and Brother Russell was trying to understand it, and Brother Streeter, and Brother Loomis, and others. Now, with us, it's easier to see because we're closer to the complete fulfillment of it. But even then, look at all the information that we got from Brother Russell and Brother Loomis and Brother Streeter on these things, and Gene Burns. Mm-hmm. A lot of beautiful information here.
Of course, we'll be helping.
Yes. All right, if there aren't any further thoughts on this chapter, we'll go to chapter 18. We can see that by reading these different chapters, that we get details, like in chapter 18, we're going to get details that we didn't get in chapter 17. And now in chapter 17, it doesn't specifically bring out Christ's second presence, although Christ is present. But chapter 18, the very first verse, we have a declaration of Christ's second presence. All right, Venice, would you read chapter 18, verse 1?
After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his splendor.
Alright, now, are there any thoughts on this verse, and after these things? See, now here John is commenting that after he had seen after he had seen the prophecy of chapter 17, he sees something else. He sees an angel coming down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Who is this angel?
The Lord. The Redeemer.
Our Lord.
Lord of lords and King of kings.
And having great authority, is there any thoughts on our Lord returning having great authority?
He said at his resurrection, all power is given to me both in heaven and earth.
Yes. Michael shall stand up. Here our second volume study and our fourth volume study. Here is another scripture. Instead of saying Michael shall stand up, it says having great authority, and the earth was lightened with his glory.
Well, this is after Michael stands up. This is after the destruction of the of the Babylon. Isn't it?
No, Mark. Because now when it says the earth was lightened with his glory, his lightnings enlightened the earth, the world saw and trembled.
The lightnings of the truth.
As the lightning shineth from the east even unto the west,
even
so shall the days of the Son of Man be.
Well, these things don't run concurrently. And the 17th chapter shows the destruction.
Yes.
Yes.
Now here in 18, it shows another way that Babylon is destroyed. Babylon is destroyed as a result of the glory of our Lord uncovering, enlightening the earth in regard to hidden things, in regard to the hidden things of the papacy, and in regard to the restitution blessings of by the sweat of thy brow and so on, the jubilee trumpet,
the
increase of knowledge, all of these things are
the increase of knowledge, because how can you say the earth
was lightened, or the earth was enlightened. I think it's the same thought as that of as the astrapi, as the bright shining shines from the east even unto the west, the bright shining of knowledge, of truth, of information on every subject. That would be the thought here.
That's going to prove that the Lord is present.
Yes.
And that's why I cannot understand how some of the brethren don't say the Lord isn't willing to cause this. Since his presence has come, we see all these things being accomplished.
As a result of all the curses, enlightenment.
All the curses.
Little by little.
Little by little.
I'm going to get it from the complete picture. Rain. The rain, the word rain, they look at it from the completed sense.
Now, Mother, would you read Gene Burns' comments on 18:1?
And after this vision, John Christ saw another messenger, Lord, come down, or saith, from the divine authority, having great power, and the society was given knowledge by the glory of his presence.
Tony, I know this isn't quite on the discussion, but
we have a paragraph on Brother. Oh, go ahead, Harriet.
I have a note here in my Bible how verses 1 to 5 of chapter 18 compare with Jeremiah 51, 1, 6, 8, 9, and 45. This comparison is made in the fourth volume.
We can read that when we keep that in mind when we read all five here.
Okay.
Jeremiah
1,
31?
51.
All right. Now, Martha, would you read the new notes? You've got the new notes.
Yeah.
page 44, paragraph under chapter 18.
After seeing these things, that the man of sin has indeed come, as revealed in volume 2, chapter 9. Is that 9?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Lord's people have the last obstacle removed from their seeing by faith that the Lord has indeed returned in authority and glory, illuminating the earth, not yet revealed to be seen or recognized by all flesh. However, though they are beginning to see that all things do not continue as from the beginning of creation, though knowledge along many lines has indeed increased, multiplied. To us, however, the condition of the earth society has been revealed in the light now shining. Eventually, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
All right, now let's read verse 2. Amy?
The old notes say.
All right, now just a minute, Amy. All right, there it is.
I found it. I think I have it written now. Let's see. It's on page 26, the old notes.
Short paragraph.
And, let's see, here again, I'll just read the part on it, because then it goes into verse 2. It is only after seeing Babylon, it's similar, seeing Babylon and thus recognizing the falling away as having taken place, and the man of sin is being revealed, that of the John class, may see the Lord coming. Otherwise, the apostles' words in 2 Thessalonians 2:1-4 would contradict all other evidences of the parousia. This fixes the time when five heads are fallen as that of the recognition of the second presence by the first of the John class.
Very, very interesting how this is put together. That after this, after the revealment of the man of sin, the recognition of the second presence of Christ. All right.
Why would that be essential?